You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Dom Salvia's show, 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Today on his show, Dom will talk about AI in campaigns in Wisconsin. We were just talking about bad Brad Schimmel. Apparently his campaign altered an ad about his rival for the spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Susan Crawford. Yeah, oops. So Dom will be talking about that 4 to 6 p.m. Check it out today across the Civic Media Radio Network. Joining us right now, it is now a monthly date that we have. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden is here. Good morning, Darren. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. I'm doing well.
Glad to have you with us. It's been 2.5 weeks. All kinds of executive orders have been flying out of the Oval Office, and I am curious to find out the effect these are already having on Wisconsin farmers, Darren.
Well, where do I start? Because there's quite a few different ones that we can talk about. But number one, I think the one that concerns most citizens is the health department and their not corresponding or not being able to correspond with health issues. Currently, the avian flu issue is affecting dairy herds across the country, flocks of chickens and turkeys. So not being able to communicate and not being able to really know what's going on there draws a lot of uncertainty. Knock on wood, hopefully we won't have a major outbreak during this process, but yet it's one of those things in times of crisis, you really need to have those communication lines open. So not having that, it's had an impact on farmers' mental health more than anything else, but certainly something that needs to be corrected sooner than later.
Darren, for people who aren't familiar with what you're talking about, can you be a little bit more specific?
So Human Health Services was directed, I think on day two of the Trump administration, not to have any communications outside of really the senior administration. And so looking at if there's an outbreak in Cashton, Wisconsin, which is my hometown, of any kind of health concern, there really was not going to be any communication between even the county health departments within the state here. So, if something starts in Kansas and moves north, we might not know about it until it's too late. So, those things should not be shut down. And I understand a little bit what they're trying to do to, make the government a little bit more efficient. But these are things that efficiency shouldn't be a center of.
Well, and exactly. Ignorance is not bliss in this case, right? Information is power. Knowledge is power. And if we're going to get a handle on this avian flu, which we're seeing the effect of by the price of eggs, this is only going to get worse. So cutting off the agencies that dispense the information about the travel and route of this virus, that's not helping anybody.
Right. Yeah. And it's only going to get worse before it gets better unless you address it immediately. And certainly it's not something that's brand new, but it's something that, you can contain it to a certain point if you know where it's at. But if there's no communications, it can move from county to county fairly fast.
And that's where you mentioned efficiency. Is a lot of people who are critical of the things we say, they say they'll mention things of corruption and efficiencies. And to me, it's better to have a proactive approach. You save lives, you can save money, you can save time, versus in 2-3 months where it's devastated county after county, and now we have to have a fix, which will cost even more money and require more manpower. and that's not efficient at all.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Well, that's trying to fix it on the back end. Yeah. When the cow's already out of the barn. This is backwards. And I think it's important too, Darren, that folks realize. I believe it was Carolyn Leavitt, the new press secretary for the Trump administration, who accused President Biden of killing chickens, and that's why eggs are so expensive. Tragically, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I am a chicken farmer and my flock becomes infected with avian flu, I have to kill my chickens in order to stop the spread, correct?
That is correct. No matter if you got a 10 flock herd or a 10 million flock herd, you know, anything that's in within the barn or within a radius of the facilities where there's a detection has to be euthanized to stop that spread. And certainly, you know, there's a lot of question marks about some spots around the country, whether they're doing adequate testing or not. But certainly a lot of the farmers out there, number one, take it very seriously to try to keep it out of their herds and their flocks. And, you know, that can only be done to a certain point with wild birds that fly over and let their poop come down on top of feed and, you know, even buildings too. But, you know, farmers take it really seriously on what's happening there. And because you can't afford to lose those 1,000 or 10 chickens or 20,000 or 10 million chickens. Mm-hmm. That's really impacting your bottom line, because even with the government programs that are there, it doesn't make you whole in having to euthanize that whole herd.
And I also think, Darren, that it's got to be so painful because farmers care about their animals. They do.
The way I look at every time I have a sick cow, you know, I want her to get healthy because number one, she means an income for me. But number two, that's food for my neighbors, for my friends, for my relatives, for my city friends that I probably don't even know. Yep. But, you know, anytime we lose a protein source, that's not a good thing for the country.
Darren Vaughn, I know we're
speechless. It's just the idea that she would blame President Biden for killing chickens. It just, why am I shocked? I shouldn't be shocked, but I am.
But unfortunately, there are people who heard that if they are only getting their news from one outlet are going to go, yeah, it was Biden's fault. Biden killed chickens.
Yeah. And that's, you know, one of the big issues I have with people that can't take responsibilities for their own actions. We have a gentleman that's in the White House right now that has done nothing but blame everybody else since he became president the first time. And his actions have a lot more detriment to the country than what the press secretary even does.
Without a doubt. And let's not forget, in his first term, when we were talking about COVID and the million or the hundreds of thousands of people that died in this country under COVID. And at that point, Donald Trump said, I don't take responsibility for anything. Mm-hmm. And I think pretty much they should just put that in a plaque over the Resolute desk in his office.
Not my fault.
Not my fault. Blame somebody else.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Darren Vaughn Rudin is our guest. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and we're talking about the executive orders that came out in just the first 2.5 weeks of the Trump administration and how this is affecting Wisconsin farmers. We were talking initially, Darren, again, about cutting off access to information from the Department of Health and Human Services. He's cut off information from the CDC and all of that stuff. What are some of the other EOs that you're seeing the effects on the ground already?
Well, certainly looking at the freeze on government spending has really impacted farm communities across the nation because of the amount of grants that are out there that come to, whether it's nonprofits or small businesses, that have contracts with the federal government to receive dollars. And when you look at losing a $20,000 check to an organization that needs $70,000 to actually do the business, you know, it really impacts that. When you're looking at some of the information organizations out there that have received grants over the years and have never had an issue with it, all of a sudden, they don't know if they can continue to keep the employees that are covered under these grants employed in the organization. So, you know, there's that uncertainty. You know, right now, it sounds like farm program payments are going to continue. So looking at that, farmers probably won't be impacted too much by that. That's as of today. That could all change tomorrow.
Sure.
You know, we just don't know. But, you know, really looking at that government freeze and what it's doing to communities across the country is frightening.
Well, and we've talked before with you, Darren, about farming. There are so many things involved in farming. It's the weather, it's the crops, it's your equipment, but it's also budgeting is really important. And for a lot of these groups who were given, say, that $20,000 grant money, that is built into their year and how they're going to handle things for the year. So essentially, this just blew up all their budgets.
Yep. And, you know, and the uncertainty from day to day, too, because one day there was a stay by a judge that meant that the payments had to go out. But in reality, none of the payments did go out. So, you know, it seems to be that the administration is not adhering to court orders, and which is another scary aspect of what's going on. We do have the three branches of government, and they need to work together to make sure that the country is, you know, stabilized and can move forward.
You make a good point, too, though. We talked about childcare in Wisconsin yesterday, and the Head Start program in Waukesha had to shut down because, again, they stopped all the funding for these programs and without giving anybody a heads up about it, and then said, oh, wait, okay, that was a mistake. We're going to restart it. Yeah. They still can't get into some of these portals. So this is going to have long-term ramifications.
Yeah, and we've seen that a couple of years ago with child care centers across the state here when they lost state funding, you know, closed up. Our grandkids were affected by that. They ended up becoming grandpa's best buddies for a few months there because that's how long it took to find a daycare provider.
But that goes right along with J.D. Vance's answer to the child care crisis, Darren. Grandparents got to step up. He said that on the campaign trail. Yep, you thought you'd be able to enjoy your golden years. Sorry, Grandma and Grandpa, you're babysitters now.
Darren, you're a great American.
We're going to continue our conversation with Darren Von Rudin, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. If you would like to join us, 854-842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You don't mean no harm, you just don't know what else to do.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform shedding more users than a husky blowing its winter coat. Our guest at this time is Darren Von Rudin. He is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Before the break, we were talking about the ramifications of executive orders coming out of the Oval Office under Donald Trump and the impact it's already having on Wisconsin farmers. Darren, the languishing, which continues to, we need a new word for languishing farm bill. What are your hopes that this thing is ever going to get passed, or should we just forget about it?
Good question. Back in January, National Farmers Union's executive committee was in D.C., and we visited the four pillars, as we call them, of the Ag Committee. So the Senate chair of the Ag Committee and the ranking member, and then the House of Representatives chair and the ranking member there, too. Everybody was saying, let's get this done sooner than later. positive words coming out of the House of Representatives in JT Thompson said he really wants to get it on the floor by the middle of March to the end of March at the latest. I really think with all the executive orders and everything else that's going to have to take place over the next month and a half here now, that timeline probably is not going to happen. And then, of course, on the Senate side, with all the confirmation hearings, which they're fairly good on schedule there, but that body said it probably wouldn't happen until June or July at the earliest. So we're looking at probably a September timeframe. And then whether or not it's actually gets to the floor and gets some action, or if it gets another 1 year extension, is only to be determined at this time.
So what does this do to farmers in Wisconsin? They're just in a constant holding pattern.
Yep. Right now, the programs are still in place because of the extensions. There's some of them programs that haven't been really well liked, and that's why farmers want to see a different farm bill to get something different that would be a little bit better for the farm community and the consumer community alike. And so by just having extension after extension, it's just continuing to foster that get bigger, get out mentality that the farm bill has become. And, we really need to look at how do we refine that and make sure that we're keeping a good, adequate supply of food, but also a very diverse supply of that food too. And what I mean by that is making sure that we have millions of producers rather than 5 or 10,000 producers across the country.
I've never understood the go big or go home argument. That it just doesn't seem a healthy way to, it just doesn't seem healthy.
Yeah, it's all in that efficiency mindset and the capitalistic society that we live in, where there's only going to be one provider at the end of the day. And, that just really isn't good for any of us. And, you don't have to call it communism or socialism or anything else like that. It's just good common sense to have a very diverse portfolio. And I know any business that I've been a part of or know of, they like to get their products from many different sources versus becoming a 70% dependent on one supplier or one buyer, because your day can be ruined in a heartbeat by that one company.
Isn't that the basis of capitalism, is healthy competition? Or I don't know. I'm not that smart. I've been several texters have told me that. So I'm just assuming that, I thought competition was good for capitalism.
It should be, and looking at what's happened over the years, the less competition we get, the faster that farmers go out of business and the higher that our food prices get. If this idea of large economics of scale operations were going to make food cheap, we should be paying $1 a gallon for milk instead of $4 a gallon.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's a great point. Yep. It really is.
And I want to reiterate for folks who don't know or listening to us for the first time, when we're talking about the farm bill, this was a bill that was supposed to be passed in 2023. This was supposed to be done nearly 2 years ago, and they kicked it down the can. They kicked the can down the road in fall of 2023. Said, we'll come back to it next year. And now next year, and Darren, I was listening to Pam Yonke's farm report this morning, which you can listen to 5 to 6 a.m.
She's fabulous.
She's wonderful. But she was talking to one of her reporters, and they're saying, don't be surprised that they try to make it pan out in 2026. And this just goes back to the idea that, man, Darren, they love you. They love the farmer. That farmer, you're the backbone of America. You keep the food rolling, and you're everything they love about America. But the moment that you need something from them, we'd love to help you. We got to go big or go home. I don't even know what that means, honestly. But I've never turned an assignment in 2 years late.
Yep. And they always talk about people that don't want to work, and we need to stop these programs to help the disadvantaged folks across the country. But yet, who's not getting their job done?
Yeah.
They've actually got a job. They're getting paid for it, but they still can't do it. And that leads to another thing with the international food aid programs that are on hold right now, too. you know, all that food is going to at some point in time affect the price that farmers pay, because that's part of the supply chain. It's not the hugest part, but it's a good part of the supply chain. And so when that food gets backed up in our docks because it can't go overseas to help the people that really need it, that's going to lower farmers' pay prices. And the real ethical thing on my part is, you know, we're a country of surplus. We have plenty of food. And when we are going to force people into starvation because we can't spend a few extra dollars or pennies, it's not the same values that most farmers have across this country.
Darren Von Ruden is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He's joining us now on the first Wednesday of every month. Thank you so very much, Darren. It's so important that we hear from farmers and understand what's going on the ground here in Wisconsin. So we really appreciate you taking time for us.
Yep, no problem, Jane. And if I could just say one last thing, call your elected representatives and tell them that they need to stick up for the American farmer and the American consumer.
MyVote.WI.gov, that gives you all the numbers you need. News coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the statewide, countrywide. If you got the app, we are global, baby. Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:51 or so-ish, we'll wrap up the show with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the Little Deuce Coupe edition. If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Same email address if you have a suggestion for a guest on the show, maybe a topic, something happening in your community, whether it's in Park Falls or Madison or Eau Claire or Oshkosh. And if you want to complain, I read them all, and then I send the really bad ones on to Calvin.
Sometimes we get emails from people that make almost no sense, too.
But we read those, too.
We read them, and we're happy that you're taking part in the process. Jane, you know what else people can do?
What?
They can go on social media.
They can.
Yes. Some of it is a blithering hellscape of weirdos and psychopaths, but we're there, and we can be your little spot of fun. Go to the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram,
YouTube
under Civic Media. But the other three, we have our own Matt Nair on Air. You can follow us. You can see our clips. You can see our posts. You can see what's going on with us. We have a lot going on, and we put it on social media. We're blowing up on the Instagram, Jane.
It's freaking me out. It's kind of freaking me out. We have one video.
Yeah.
Was this after the Abundant Life School shooting? In
yes,
Madison.
Yes.
And we were talking about guns, and John Stewart had an excellent interview with a lawmaker from Oklahoma who says the answer to America's gun violence program is more guns.
Yeah.
And I wish I was as brilliant as John Stewart. Obviously, I'm not. But we did a section of the show on that. And now it's got almost a million views.
It has more than a million
views. It's freaking me out.
And I just want to that was State Senator of Oklahoma, Nathan Dom.
Thank you.
Because I want him to know he's the one who said those words. But shout out to Tony at Civic Media, who puts together all of these videos.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my good gravy. But yeah, a million views. Just tons of comments, Jane, that are supportive.
And well-reasoned.
Well-reasoned. They're kind.
They're
telling me what I can do for or to myself.
Oh, nice.
It's just so nice to hear from people.
There's so much love.
There's so much love. So join us on the social medias. You can follow us and Civic Media. So go to the social media. And I I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Civic Media is on Blue Sky right now. I don't believe that we are, but we are individually on Blue Sky. And it's just also, when I tap that app, I'm like, it's going to be nice.
Blue Sky is nice.
It's very nice.
And it's growing.
Yes, it is.
So if you haven't checked it out yet, and I was very, very apprehensive, and it's not like I post a lot.
No.
It's under my own name, and yeah. I do post snarky things occasionally. But it's just a much different vibe than what used to be Twitter.
It's what Twitter used to be, say, like 2014, 2015. You can really, really work to get your algorithm, you know, customized.
Yeah.
You want news, you can get news. And what's a great thing about Blue Sky that I really, really enjoy is they have something called starter packs where you can take whomever you're let's say Jane loves news. She does love news. Her top 10, 15 accounts are all that are journalists. She can put it in a little post, and that post can go out there, and you can follow them all yourself.
It makes it so easy.
Yes.
It really does.
Yeah.
Because I know when I first landed there, it's like, well, I don't even know who to follow. And some of those starter packs started showing up, and it's really useful.
Yep. I love it.
And again, there's a lot more news. The reason I was on Twitter to begin with is because that's where news breaks.
Yep.
Even before it gets on TV, that tends to be where news breaks. Yeah. Now there are a lot more news organizations that are on Blue Sky.
Yeah.
So you're getting the same kind of real-time information as news is breaking around the world. So check it out if you haven't yet. Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
BlueSky.com.
We're not endorsed.
Yet.
Yeah.
We're working on it. And we say this all the time, if you want to text in, we see them all as the show is underway. Sue from Franklin texting in saying, Jane, did you see the Green and Gold movie? I did.
Oh, you did?
I went to see it on Sunday.
Okay.
I have an issue.
Oh,
I know you're so surprised.
welcome to another edition of Jane Has a Problem With.
I really liked the Green and Gold movie.
Okay. What is it about? What is it about?
So it's Craig T. Nelson, his grandpa and grandma, and their granddaughter live on their farm in northeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they do things the old way. Seriously. They hand milk the cows.
Okay.
And use horses.
All right.
And it's like a religion for him. There is a holiness to this.
Okay.
In the way the animals are treated and the way the land is treated.
Yeah.
And they start to having some financial problems, and they're going to lose the farm. And so he takes a bet from the banker that if the Packers win the Super Bowl, he gets another year to try and make payments on the farm and get out from being underwater.
Is this all based on a true story?
No.
Okay.
It is not.
All right.
But there is actual Packers footage in there that they had to obviously get permission from the NFL and from the Packers, which is no easy thing.
No.
That's no small feat. So well done to the makers of that film for making that happen.
Yeah.
But there's a plot point in the movie involving a prop that I can't get out of my mind now.
Okay, set the stage.
I don't want to blow it for people.
Okay. All right, then.
If you saw Green and Gold, 855-752-4842. I would love to talk to you about it and see if anybody else noticed this. And it's a small thing in this movie, but it bugs me. And I actually talked to Pete Schwabe last night.
Yeah.
Pete, of course, the host of Nightlight across Civic Media from 6 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Great show.
Yeah.
Great way to unwind at the end of the day if you want to get away from the hard news. Pete's been in the entertainment industry for a long time.
Yeah.
He's been an actor and a stand-up comic, and he's written for things. And I asked him, I said, have you seen Green and Gold yet? Because I have a problem with a major plot issue.
Oh, by the way, folks, this plot issue. Oh, we know. No, it does. You told me it's a plot issue.
It is a plot issue.
You're not just blowing smoke.
No.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
There is a flaw in it.
Yeah.
Todd from DePeer just texted in, listening on WGBW. I saw it, Jane. Blow it up. People had an opportunity to watch it. I have to know what your plot issue is.
Welcome to Jane Spoils Your Fun.
I don't want to wreck it because overall, I really liked this movie. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
It's very heartfelt. it ties in the importance of community and people helping each other out.
Yeah.
Charlie Behrens is in it.
Okay.
He plays a radio announcer. And it's a really good film.
It's a feel-good movie.
It is a feel-good movie.
Until you get to that point where Jane just could not let it go.
That wouldn't happen. That thing would not happen in Wisconsin.
I feel like this is the meanest tease in radio history where, like, we're telling you right now, like by the way, Green and Gold didn't call us and say, hey, we want to drive up our numbers online. Can you make it so that you're going to torture them to the point where they have to watch this film? No. Jane decided.
I saw it on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing when I got home because my husband is not a big movie fan.
Yeah.
And I said, this is driving me crazy.
So did you see it in the theater?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater.
Oh, I didn't even realize it was in the theater. Okay, I thought it was at...
It's in limited places, but if you search for it, and I wouldn't wait too long because I don't know how long it's going to be in theaters.
It stars Craig T. Nelson.
It does.
Wow. TV's coach.
And somebody else texted in and said, I believe the producers are from Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is a Wisconsin... This is a... Todd, you're Todd from DePere. At least text me back. You're killing me. Wow. See, this is what Brian from Milwaukee, curious minds need to know. And Sue, who's seen it twice, doesn't know what you're talking about.
Sue. Okay.
Spoil it.
I'm going to say one word and I'll see if this resonates.
Yeah.
Ladder. That's all I'm going to say.
L-A-D-D-E-R.
L-A-D-D-E-R, ladder.
Yeah.
That's where my issue is in the movie Green and Gold. For those of you who've seen it, if you get where I'm coming from, I'd love to. Maybe I'm the only one.
I feel like there's going to be some of our more seasoned listeners who know you well through the show who are going to be like, all right, Jane, that one you got to let go.
It wouldn't happen.
Sure. Okay, you're right. But you know what else didn't happen? This movie.
That's not the point. Don't undermine my entire segment.
Calvin, what are your thoughts on this? I need to know what you're thinking about. He's probably thinking about books.
The way Jane has conveyed it to me.
Yeah.
I agree. It seems like a matter of convenience. That they needed something to move the plot along.
That's exactly what it was. And I wouldn't have a problem with it except for a couple. They could have made a couple tweaks and I wouldn't be whining about it.
So here's what else now I've gleaned from this little conversation. You're going around to the office and forcing this conversation on people. Hey, how was your weekend? I saw Green and Gold. I got some problems with it. Here we go. Yeah.
Sue from Franklin texting in, Craig T. Nelson in his underwear. I could go my whole life without seeing that. Craig T. Nelson's got to be in his 70s.
Yes, we don't hate.
He's doing push-ups and all that stuff. Sue's got it. Sue from Franklin has got it. And all the only clue I gave was ladder, L-A-D-D-E-R.
Yes, yep.
Nailed it, Sue.
I feel like we should have a prize pack for you. This was worth something.
Well, I told Pete Schwabba wanted me to have me on Nightlight to talk about this. And I said, have you seen it yet? Because I don't want to tell you what it is until you see it. And then we can talk about it. And again, maybe I'm the only one.
Can I be on the show just to watch? Because I want to see. Now I just want to watch this happen. Like, I feel like you should make a point. So it is
11:47.
No. It is the 5th of February.
Yes.
I would say give it a month's time.
Okay.
And then in a month, go on the show, talk about it with detail.
Pete Schwab is going to be on in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And hopefully he'll have time. Hopefully he'll have time to see it before then.
I love that idea. I love that idea.
Brian from Milwaukee, thank you, Jane. I got it. Troy from Mount Horeb, give Sue a hat. We could give you a Beyond the Cheese hat if you'd like that.
Sue, do us a favor. Email us, janesays@civicmedia.us. Send us your address.
Todd from DePere, you got it, Todd. That is my issue.
Why is it turned?
He's listening on WGBW. It wouldn't happen in Wisconsin. No self-respecting Wisconsinite would do that.
We are going to get talked to so hard by the higher-ups. This has literally been a 19-minute inside joke.
This wasn't what we planned.
No, it was not. Exactly. But hey, here's the tease for the later tease. We're going to have Pete Schwabba on the show.
Hopefully he'll see it before then.
Even if he doesn't.
Well, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. We'll explain what's going on. In the coming weeks, stay tuned. In the coming weeks,
do little
Matt and Air on Air.
Two little teases for the next 2.5 weeks.
Nightlight, crossover of the century.
Go see Green and Gold.
Yeah.
It's lovely. It really is. You're going to feel good and it'll warm your heart. So go see it and then let me know if you caught what's driving me crazy. The clue is ladder.
LADDER.
All right, we got to wrap it up. This Shouldn't Be a Thing is on the way next. It's the Lil Deuce Coupe edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media, highly dignified radio network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Andra Watkins is a New York Times bestselling author. Mm-hmm. She's been on the show several times, and first time she's going to be back since the election. Russell Vogt, who is now the head of the Office of Management and Budget and one of the authors of Project 2025, even though you may have never heard of it. He is now in the White House, and Andra's got a Substack called How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life. We're going to have Andra on to talk about Russell Vogt and the other, I would call them Theo Bros. They're theologians. They have a very religious bent.
Yeah.
To their plans for this country. And Andrew is going to join us to talk about that. That will be at 10:33. Hour number two, we tend to lighten things up a little bit. A little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:21. And then Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here to talk all things sports. I have a feeling we will be talking about Sunday's big game. As far as I'm concerned, there is a bigger event this Sunday.
Folks, it's the Puppy Bowl.
It's the 21st Puppy Bowl.
24. Oh, the Puppy Bowl can drink.
It's been around for a while.
Wow.
We'll talk about that,
Jane
too.
Jane loves dogs.
The Puppy Bowl, again, if you need a break from bad news, there's not a better way to spend an hour than to watch silly puppies playing with toys and drinking water.
Also, there's a great thing on YouTube where they interview celebrities playing with puppies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like, they're like, yeah. So, and they come in, and every time the celebrity's like, oh my God.
We're all squishes when it comes to puppies. But anyway, Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports, things, the Bucks.
The sucks.
Yeah. There's things going on with the Bucks. Not everybody's happy about that. We will talk about that tomorrow with Paul Noonan at 11:33. Right now it's 11:54. Calvin, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This from motortrend.com. The headline reads, "The American Dream, world's longest limo, restored by Florida man." Once again, the dazzling 100-foot-long Cadillac gets a new lease on life. The world's longest limo, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, is 100 feet and 1.5 inches. An impressive 25,000-pound helipad-equipped Cadillac. It's enormous.
It's stupid.
It's stupidly large. There is no possible way you can corner that thing.
No, and here's the funny thing. So not only will the story be on the notes today, I'm also going to include Motor Trend's video about it. Because you can tell just the disdain this woman has for having this assignment.
She's the reporter who's got it covered.
Yeah, and I the word reporter is doing some heavy lifting there. But the point is like it is a long car with a tiny helipad, also a putting green on it, and the most uncomfortable way of entering a car ever.
And the interior looks really cheap and really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They look like cardboard seats.
The whole thing of this car, Florida car, mm-hmm. I mean, if a car has ever represented Florida better, it's for the Guinness Book of World Records. And because it's a car, because they're going for the world's longest car, it has to be able to drive. She drives it forward. She drives it backwards. And that's it.
Because that's all you can do with it. And she's on an airport tarmac.
Yeah. And at one point she says, "Are the wheels straight?" She doesn't trust the steering wheel. She pops her head out of the window to look and see if the four wheels on one side are straight. Because there are 26 wheels, 26 tires. This shouldn't be a thing.
No fewer than six Eldorados were conjoined during the original construction of the 24-wheeled monster.
Wouldn't that be Los Eldorados?
Could be. The American Dream is now functional to the extent it can be. With this length and the cruise ship-like turning radius, you can't just drive it around. You have to plan your route to make sure you're only going to go straight or backwards.
Yeah.
But there is room inside for 75.
Oh, boy, howdy.
No. We will include this in the show notes so you can take a look yourself at the little deuce coupe.
I really think we need to redefine the word dream in this situation, too.
That would be fair.
There it is.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up after the noon news, Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4 p.m., Dom Salvia 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba lightening up towards the end of the evening, 6 to 8 p.m., and then Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio, kicks it off all early mornings from 6 to 8 a.m., and then Earl Ingram Jr. right before us from 8 until 10. I hope you find some joy today. You have the chance to share it. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. Keep it right here. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.